Not, I wish I could have given you a more interesting answer. It seems like I disappointed you.
No, it's just you're kind of business on neck down, party on top.
And I'm a party on the bottom. Yes. Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Lebatard. We got Mina Kimes and Pablo Torre. I'm sorry that we cannot televise the party below my waist. Let's get started.
Yeah, I didn't RSVP to that party.
Is tonight's game a referendum on John Gruden and the Raiders?
All right. This is basically a question that just says, hey, guys, can you guys just talk about the game tonight? Because we all exist as infomercials to get you to the next live sporting event. I've been asking for the better part of a decade, are the Raiders for real? I've never gotten an answer to that question. It's a confounding one. I've asked if Kirk Cousins is good for about that long. I still don't know the answer to that one. Here's where I think I might be the only person in America that thinks the Chargers are this close to actually being good, but they still have a bunch of apocalyptic things happening, including the most apocalyptic 20 seconds I have seen in the sport this season, when before halftime of their last game with 20 seconds left, it's third and short. All they have to do is something that doesn't end up with the clock running out on them, and they run the ball on the line, realize it's fourth and short, realize they can't spike the ball, and now Justin Herbert is walking around in circles, and Anthony Lynn, it's the third straight week this has happened to them. I like watching the Chargers. I like watching Herbert. Are they any good? I don't know, because I feel like they're really close to being good.
I feel also like the Chargers are really lucky that they don't have a massive fan base, because if they did, that moment you just described, Dan, would have been such a bigger deal, right? Like, we would have devoted so much more airtime to just roasting Anthony Lynn, but instead it kind of quietly went away. These two teams are both really untrustworthy and unknowable for all the reasons you just described. Like, the Chargers are cursed, I feel comfortable saying. And then the Raiders, well, who the heck knows who the Raiders are? Do you remember that week on the internet when people kept posting videos of inanimate objects that turned out to be cake? Okay, that is how I feel about the Raiders. Like, on one hand, they look kind of shiny and new, and Derek Carr was throwing deep and extending plays, and Ruggs is really exciting, and Darren Waller is incredible. But then just when you start to buy in and you cut into them, they're soft. They're soft on the inside. And I know they just fired the defensive coordinator, and defense is their biggest problem, but I don't trust them tonight. But I don't trust the Chargers either.
But the question, if I may respect the question here for a second, is this sort of a make-or-break game for John Gruden? I feel like we do know the answer to that question pretty definitively. And the answer is no. Like, this game does not matter at all to John Gruden for a couple of reasons. Number one, keep in mind, right, at the end of this year, John Gruden is going to go to his boss, John Gruden, and be like, hey, John Gruden, what did we do? Well, we beat the Saints. We beat the Chiefs. Nobody else in the league did that. That's sure. Great. And he will tell himself, you know what, John, you raise a very good point. Let's go to our other boss and ask him what he thinks. And he will then go to his owner, Mark Davis, who, by the way, looks like John Gruden. John Gruden, again, looks like the avatar that Mark Davis makes on video games. And he will look into his eyes and say, you know what, John, you deserve the rest of the 10-year, $100 million contract I've already guaranteed you. So the only person with any amount of definitive security in this game is the guy we just asked, hey, is this make or break for him?
I don't feel like Mark Davis looks like John Gruden. I feel like Mark Davis aspires to look like John Gruden,
yes,
but has spent the last decade looking like John Gruden, living by a radiation plant, like just living nearby as a scarecrow. This is mean now. I've gone, this is too much.
Yeah, yeah. You really took that. You started
bad.
At like,
I can't
like
that.
Roasting,
I can't,
and then you
that.
Elevated to living, yes, by a radiation plant.
Do Trevor Lawrence's comments to Dan Patrick make you think that he wants to play for the Jets?
Mina is indisputably our football expert. We just let her get away despite her waifish arms with calling the Raiders soft. Professional football players partaking in violence, and we just let it slide. So I'm interested, yeah, in getting her quarterback evaluation here, because I'm a bad quarterback evaluator, and I've got some questions about the guys coming out in this draft. Let's hear Trevor Lawrence and whether or not he wants to play for the Jets.
Have you watched the Jets, Trevor?
I haven't really, honestly. Obviously,
don't. Don't.
No highlights and stuff. But,
don't.
No, I mean, really, like, honestly, I know some of this stuff I say sounds cliche, but just to have the opportunity to go somewhere, help someone rebuild, if that's what it is, or whatever, and just win. That's what, you know, something I love doing. I think that's what I'm best at is winning, you know, regardless of stats, whatever it is, that's what I love. So just to have that chance, obviously some places it'll be more of a challenge than others, but I think I'm up for it.
A little bit of yawning indifference. Also, by the way, has to lead the sport coming into this draft in surface area of his face, because that is not the way that quarterbacks usually end up looking. The whole thing he's got going on, that's not what I expect. The surfer vibe is not what I expect. The thing that I wanted to ask you guys is, last year, it was all season we were talking Tua or Burrow, and then Herbert makes an appearance. Is there any particular reason? I can't figure it out. Where we're not talking about Trask and Justin Fields the way that we're talking about this guy, because it's confusing to me. Trask has been very good at the position, but I don't know how to separate how much of that has to do with Pitts and Tony and how much it has to do with Trevor Lawrence not having the receivers that he's had the last couple of years.
But there is like an embedded insult there, because Kyle Trask really is playing college football, really a starter for the first time in his life. This year in high school, he was backing up Derek King. Trevor Lawrence then has this resume winning a national title as a freshman that I feel like is in far excess of the other guys we're talking about in that potential conversation. I will say two things about Trevor Lawrence here, though. Number one, in Mina's defense and her football aptitude, she does look the most like Trevor Lawrence out of anybody here on this panel. So give her credit on that. Okay. Second of all, when it comes to the Jets, can I just be insulted on behalf of my city of New York? Like, forget about whether, like, the Jets should be insulted that the Jaguars are positioned to be a superior franchise. I merely want to say, like, the city of New York used to be a place where young people wanted to come and do very irresponsible things if they had a lot of money. It just seems like, are we really at a point where that doesn't matter at all? It's not fun to anybody. You'd rather be young and rich and reckless in Jacksonville as opposed to Manhattan? Really?
Well, Pablo, for starters, the Jets actually play in New Jersey, so you live in New Jersey, not Manhattan, so, you know, a little different. Yeah. Dan, to answer your question about Lawrence versus the other quarterbacks, he is a lot better than the other quarterbacks. He is more of a sure thing. He does have the resume that Pablo described. We know why every single team in the NFL looks at him like he is God's gift. The actual question of whether or not he wants to play for the Jets, which is the one we're going to be hearing that between now and the draft, to me, isn't that interesting, because the quote that emerged from that interview, "I love winning," okay, that's like the type of quote that makes the loins of GMs tingle, because not only can Trevor Lawrence throw a perfect deep ball on the run off of his back foot, he can be incredibly inoffensive and say stuff without really saying anything. He is all the way ready for the NFL. I mean, we are talking about a guy who not only went back to play college football this year, he lobbied to play it amidst a pandemic. For free. Of course he's going to play for the New York Jets. He's not the guy who's going to come in and shake up the system no matter how much we want him to, because it gives us things to debate.
I just want to know what else, like what other things make the loins of general managers tingle?
I was going to say the same thing there, Pablo. I'm uncomfortable with the way the first segment on this show ended, and then we escalated the situation, and now I've got in my head for some reason Mike Tannenbaum's loins tingling, because he just sort of feels like a general manager to me, and he is the guy who was telling us that Herbert was better than Tua and Burrow when not a lot of other people were saying that.
The loins are your inner thighs, right?
The loins, I feel the loins are more centrally aggressive than just the inner thighs. The loins are between the inner thighs. Let's see what we have here. This is an important distinction. This is not where I thought we'd end up.
The loins.
Loins.
The sides between the lower ribs and pelvis and the lower part of the back. In human anatomy, the term loins refers to the side of the human body below the rib cage to just above the pelvis. In society and culture, the term has also become euphemistic for human genitals. Okay.
Yes,
yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
I was being anatomically correct. Sorry.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
I will say, saying I go to Las Vegas for my personal training does feel a little bit like saying I read Playboy for the articles. Like, it might be true, but it doesn't feel true.
Highly Questionable is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Highly awarded rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if James Harden sold this well?
So Tim McMahon wrote the ESPN.com story where all the details, the dirty details of how James Harden runs the Rockets, he decides when they practice, he decides what city he gets to party in, all of those details that made it clear and known, laid bare, that James Harden doesn't get said no to on the Rockets. Tim McMahon is now asking James Harden some questions here on this Zoom call. How did that go?
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas when training camp was starting?
I was just training.
What were you training for?
Started the NBA season.
How did going to Atlanta and Vegas incredible. Help you there when the Rockets were starting training camp in Houston?
Just, you know, my personal trainers.
I mean, it's matter of fact. The guy does strip clubs and clubs and also is fit enough and professional enough to do things that people don't do in that sport in terms of scoring. I don't know if you can question what that guy produces. Can you?
I mean, it would have been a lot easier to question James Harden in that exchange if he looked like what James Harden looked like the day before, when he looked like the James Harden who was smuggling like snacks into a movie theater under his shirt. Like that James Harden, that guy, you can't really get away with it. But the James Harden that we got in that Socratic dialogue with Tim McMahon was like oiled up and jacked, had like that V-shape. Like, I can believe
that's purposeful. That was purposeful. He absolutely oiled up the arms to say, look here, this was not what it looked like.
I don't know a lot about personal trainers, shocker, I know, but I will say, saying I go to Las Vegas for my personal training does feel a little bit like saying I read Playboy for the articles. Like, it might be true, but it doesn't feel true.
Playboy does have an esteemed tradition of literary reporting.
Yes, that's true. That is absolutely
true. For the record. On the other hand, James Harden also said all of that with his hands like this. You know, like in that definitely I'm lying to you position, like tented, just like, James, this is the ultimate tell.
Hey, Pablo, that was a great point. Got him!
You really did. You buried him.
Do you question if Bruce Arians is the right person to convey this message?
All right, so let's see if Bruce Arians is lying, if he's showing off the tell that Mina Kime says is the tell of all tells, the folding of the hands when telling lies. What do we have from Bruce Arians?
I know Tom looking at, you know, he gets a lot of criticism for not putting up the points I think some people expect, but his quarterback rating over the last seven weeks is third in the league right now.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody's criticizing Tom. I mean, what he did at the end of the half and to start the second half is very, very few teams can score 17 points in a matter of 5 or 6 minutes. I mean, yeah, he's not getting enough credit for what he's doing.
Bruce Arians is uncommonly sort of a coach who doesn't do coach speak that often. Can we just let the guy be the old guy who doesn't care how you receive his comments without analyzing every single word? Or does this have to happen anytime Tom Brady's in your huddle?
Yeah, I would like to analyze every single word because, number one, obviously he's the guy who has famously been criticizing Tom Brady kind of like on and off all season. But second of all, the actual question he asked, like, I can't imagine why people are criticizing Tom Brady, because have you ever met people? Like, this is all we do. Turn on ESPN at any given moment of the day. All we're doing is criticizing people. Bruce, is that really news to you?
I don't know if I've ever seen Bruce Arians in a baseball cap without glasses. Right? Like, he looks like a mall Santa who got fired or something.
It does feel like the mall came to him and they were like, look, dude, you can't be Santa if you just have a goatee. Like, that's not going to work for us. And he was like, yes, it will work for us. No, it will work
fired.
For us. Like, dude, you look crazy.
You're scaring the kids. You're scaring the kids, Arian.
Can we Photoshop him, but like with a red Kangol?
Yes.
With like a little tassel?
Let's do that right now. Let's make him angry, murderous mall Santa. Be careful, Tyler. Get off of Santa's knees. He's angry.
Do you question if this is good teamwork?
Okay, I don't want to say that the producers of this show are mailing it in as I wheeze toward my last days, but I just got in my earpiece. We'll see if this works. Here's some weird video. So that's where we're starting. Let's see if this works.
What is he? Is that vodka? Oh, yes. My God.
No.
Yes, flaming no. hair what? Situation. What? Okay. Yes, don't do this. That's
that
a
guy
good,
has
that's
very little hair to spare, and he's still doing it.
That can't smell good. Burning hair is one of the worst smells in the world. Yeah. That is a party gone awry.
Oh, no.
Yes, that is no good.
Oh, my gosh.
Unwise. Oh, my God. How much vodka was there before that that made any of that seem like a good idea? There was a loin situation at the end, fiery loins. What was happening there?
I thought at first it was a bachelor party, but then as I was watching it, those are men like in their 30s and 40s, also wearing quarter zips and like fleece vests. Which makes me think they might be hedge fund bros on a retreat. Ooh. I don't know. I've been watching a lot of Billions lately.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they should know better.
Look at the high vest.
They're definitely too rich to be doing any of this.
Wait a minute.
Like, that guy has a button down.
Hold on a second. I think you guys are viewing this vastly different. I can't totally hear the audio, but I don't believe those are Americans, and I don't want to be somebody who is biased about this stuff, but that has to be Russians. It just simply has to be people in Russia. That is no, there's no way that those are American Wall Street bros.
Highly Questionable is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Highly awarded rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Starting tomorrow, the PNC Championship.
All right, we got fathers and sons in this one, and young sons. John Daly is playing with his son. Tiger Woods with his young son, Charlie. What do we have here from Charlie's swing? Is he like his father? Is he really good at this? Is he clean?
Oh. Yeah,
that's an 11-year-old kid, right? Charlie's 11
oh
years
my
old.
Goodness.
Ooh, with the
wow,
twirl.
He looks like dad. He's got
the
a little bit of dad.
Spinning in it.
Yes.
And the spinning of the club at the end. He's just cocky. Yeah.
Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued also. It would feel very hypocritical if anybody on this particular program was like, hey, fathers and sons on a TV show together. Nah, no thanks. So, yeah, I guess I'm...
Mina, are you there. You were touching your heart. Were you moved by that?
I'm trying to think of something like funny or kind of like, you know, snarky to say about it, but it's actually really just charming. If
yes.
Poppy was here, he'd be like, wow, must be nice to be able to do something athletic with your son. I can't imagine.
But there's
what
no
that
need for
like.
Mocking here. I'm glad you didn't do that because it was simply heartfelt and charming. Thank you, Mina.
Tonight on ABC, Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Sports surprised me a couple of times last night. I hear Tom Rinaldi is all of a sudden leaving ESPN. That was a bit of a jarring thing. And then I hear Kawhi Leonard's on Jimmy Kimmel. Kawhi Leonard, late night circuit. Those things don't seem to fit, but they're talking about the size of his hands and the inconveniences. I don't know where this is going to end up with our distinguished panelists, given where today's show has been. Let's talk about the size of his hands.
You are a two-time defensive player of the year. And how much of that do you attribute to your enormous hands? Do you have your hands with you right now? May we see them?
Yeah, let me find them.
Okay. Are there disadvantages to having huge hands like that?
Definitely, definitely. You know, I don't notice until I see either my friends or someone else doing an activity. And, you know, I'm like, I can't do that. Like, putting my hands in my own pockets. Like, sometimes it's way too small. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good that you live in Southern California.
Keep going on and on.
Wait a minute, is that why you left Toronto? Because your hands were cold?
Oh, man, I couldn't find gloves to fit me.
Chris Paul, one of the things that people might not know about why he's so great at that size, also huge hands. Let me see this again, though, real quick, just a still of this shot. And you guys tell me, with the wealth that Kawhi Leonard has, that's exactly the couch you thought he had. And that is exactly the way you thought that place would look where he was staying. He has got a lot of money. That is the couch you have in college when you have no money. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. I also feel like that may actually just be like a green screen background, and his actual house is just like one of those situations where it's just a mattress on a floor and then like a bucket of apples. So, yeah.
He talked about that. He talked about the apples during that interview as well. Mina, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I'm really intrigued. I've never thought before of the downside, the potential downsides of having exceptionally large hands. As somebody who has exceptionally small hands, there are so many things I can't do, like open jars or lift things, right? Because of my tiny, tiny baby hands. But I can also make dollhouse furniture, and that's it.
Okay, that's the woman again who questioned the toughness of the Raiders today. Show she can make dollhouses with her tiny hands. She's Mina Kimes. Check her out. The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny and Pablo Torre, ESPN Daily. Thank you for watching.
Tiny for the record,
baby hands.
Above average.
All right, that's enough. This show today.
So much subtext.
Pablo, I'm sure your hands are very big.
Boom. There it is.